All right, I didn't know that before, but there won't be any problem. With me, that is. I don't know about you. I hope there won't be any problem with you. Y'all bring your cushions and everything. Okay, I believe my wife has passed out this little sheet for you. It's nothing terribly ominous or heavy, not for this group at least. And boy, I tell you, it's a bad one to follow or a good one to follow. It depends how you look at it. It's a good one to follow because he said everything right, true. I don't have to go back and say, well, now he was good, but I don't have to do that. I could, but I can't do it because he had it all right. He had it good. That's a blessing. We're dealing with some people now that I have to contradict sometimes, and that goes right along with our scripture here too. But anyway, I want you to turn to Hebrews 11. And we are greatly blessed and honored to be with this group of people. You're outstanding, and anybody that's ever heard me talk about people around the country, they know that we regard you as the people to be with. Not loud enough? Okay. All right. Thank you. What a blessing. Hebrews 11:1 11:3. I just want to look at one thing here very quickly and move out of Hebrews back to our topic. And I'm going to read this as it is in the language. By faith, we understand. Now here's the word you need to jot in here. Look it up in yourself if you don't believe me. If you can. If you can't, get your neighborhood Greek scholar to look it up. Through faith, or by faith, we understand that the ages were fit together by the Word of God. Now, Ron gave me this without knowing it. So God has a plan, His plan, of the ages. I think I probably said that here before. Age, 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 age. And a very wise man one time said, don't talk about being in the center of God's will. Talk about your place in His will. Find where you fit in His will. What does He want you to do? What is your place in the jigsaw puzzle of eternity? Where do you fit? That's the idea there. The plan of the ages. All throughout the scripture there is a plan of the ages. It's God's plan. You know that plan has an ending. In a way it doesn't. And we're going to be a lot more familiar with the way it doesn't, but we will also understand the other, because you realize the ages end before the scriptures do. Yeah. Ages end in Revelation 21. There are no more ages after that, because there's no more time. God made time start. It's the ages start. Anybody know that? Quick. I think, if I'm not wrong, the ages start in Genesis 1:14. Because that's where all time starts. See? Now we have a verse in Ephesians that might indicate, and I believe it does, but I wouldn't argue with anybody about it, that talks about the ages and generations. So perhaps what's before ages and after ages are generations, scripturally speaking. But anyway, that's not what we need to know, except it's kind of like a jeweler gets a beautiful ring and some wealthy lady insists that her husband buy a pearl or an emerald or some beautiful stone, one of those stones that you'd all like to buy your wife. And then you fit that stone into the appropriate band, and it's a thing of beauty and value. A thing of beauty and value. And that's kind of how you fit in God's plan. And maybe, you know, we don't appreciate each other. Because how can we? We're only human. And we all know each other's failings, and we all know each other's weaknesses, and our stumblings, and our imperfections, and all of that. So it's hard to appreciate each other. But you know, when God looks down and sees His people, His body, His body, you, a sparkle in His eye. He has great love because you are His creation. Oh, well, so is the frog. Yes, but you are His ultimate creation. But what about the stars and the moon and the planets? You outshine all those in the eye of God because you are the central element in this purpose of the ages. You are the central element, the building block of His plan of the ages. And that's what Ephesians has a lot to do with. So we're going now to go back to Ephesians and the message that we'll deliver or teach. God's Spirit blessing, we pray. And thank you, Roger, for praying for this session. Now we're going to cover here a couple of verses directly, and they're not deep and unwilling to understand. Paul's situation at the writing of Ephesians. I understand this, that he had a chain on his arm and it reached perhaps a weight of some kind, or either that or was chained to another guard, some kind of a guard. Understand that he had somewhat freedom other than that. And as a matter of fact, the Romans couldn't care less about the Jewish disposition to be nasty and mean and ornery. That's what they were. Not that God didn't love him. You know he loved him. He wouldn't have made him to start with. But they didn't do what he wanted them to do. You know anybody else like that? I don't know about anybody else. I know another one like that here that has that problem. Doesn't want to do what God wants him to do all the time, you know. You ever run across that? Anyway, so the Jews are really good examples of our other self. And I hope it would be our other self most of the time. So anyway, these people, his people, didn't do what he wanted. They just continuously cantankerous and ornery and nasty and mean and following false gods. That's where God began to draw the line. After all he'd done for them, so he had to have his own body, which was ultimately us. We're in that body. So you're the sparkling jewels of his body. Now let's look in Ephesians, where Ron was so erudite and so great in presenting it. And I always love to hear Ron, because he doesn't come up here without study. And everything he tells you, he means it. And he's strong and forthright, and I do appreciate it, Ron. Always have. Now, Ephesians 1 and 2, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, Paul is writing this, but he wanted you to have no mistake about where the source of it is. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the upon heavenlies in Christ. According as he has chosen us in him before the casting down of the earth. Well, I finally have figured out how some people call it something else. What is that? Over. Who can tell me what that other?
Overthrow.
The overthrow of the earth. I finally figured out how they come to that. But I still think casting down is much simpler and more accurate. And the one thing, folks, I've always tried to be accurate in the Scriptures. The Scriptures, I believe, when we get into the upon heavenlies and we begin to talk with the Lord about these things, I think we'll find that the Scriptures are perfectly mathematical in the autographs, the original copies. Everything is perfectly mathematical. Because the universe is perfectly mathematical. Do you know that? You all know that. Yeah. So I believe the Scriptures will be found to be that way someday. Now back to 4, where we really wanted to start. Now Paul is saying, I'm a prisoner of the Lord, and I exhort you or beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now you can't walk worthy. Who has ever deserved to be saved? Raise your hand. No. I saw somebody there sort of scratching. Nope. You can't ever deserve to be saved, so you can't walk worthy. It's a word in the Greek, axiom, axios or axiom, something like that, forms of it. But it doesn't mean the same thing as we think of it. It means as it would be looked at from an earthly viewpoint by perhaps your fellows, your other brethren. And then that's how it would be counted as being worthy. But which ones? So really, you are never going to be worth what God paid for you to be saved. You know that. Do you not? Does anybody have a confusion on that? No, I know you wouldn't hear.
All right, but anyway, he wants you to really try to walk that walk. And don't make those silly and dumb mistakes and you know, oh, shucks, I shouldn't have done. None of that. No, walk that accurate walk. The King James folks translated it circumspectly there in Ephesians 5. Circumspectly. Well, it means kind of roundabout, kind of being careful. Don't step in the whatever. Don't step in it, and don't step in the quicksand. And don't get off the track. Circumspectly is what the King James English thought it meant, but the word is really accurately. Acrobos. Accurately. Walk accurately. Well, how can you walk accurately? Well, you know, it's quite a phenomenon to me that when folks get a certain age, gentlemen, I'll say, like a lot of us here, that some of them take up a cane, you know. And they sort of think that it's a little more sophisticated or something, I guess. I don't know what it is. If you're a cane lover, you can tell me about it maybe. But, you know, it's this thing about the cane you can use to help you not stumble sometimes. Or I don't know what you use a cane for. Maybe you ward off a dog or something. But it has a little use. Well, we have something a whole lot better than that. I don't care how beautiful the cane is. Some people collect canes. And now, that's great. I like to see something like that. But we got something a lot better than that. You know what it is. What is it? The Word, right. And I know something better than the Word, too. Now, that's really not a good statement. There's nothing better than the Word. Except what? How about a gun? What's so great about a gun? I mean, I've known people that had guns. Criminals broke in. They shoot the gun. And they get killed by the criminal. Why? Because he forgot to put bullets in it. So when I'm talking about the Word, and you're talking about the Word, you know what? God only has how many bodies? And you're it. You're on the spot. You're on the heavenly spotlight. God's beam is on you all the time. That's right. There's no way out of that. Anybody want out of it? Can't get out of it. You don't want out of it, you want in it. More. Yes. And you are in it. Praise the Lord for that. Okay, so not everybody appreciates you. Well, they're only human. Even though they are His people. They're doing their best. Or, let's hope, anyway. But you're all in God's spotlight. You're all His people. And this Word of God, rightly divided, is what you must go by to keep you from stumbling and as your guide. So what is the attitude of a body member? Verse 2. Lowliness. Well, I've just been talking to you in such a way that you could bust out your buttons. No, you got to think a little more. You got to think, well, wait a minute. How did I get here? And a while ago, some of us were standing around complimenting each other. And we ignored the extra weight or the lesser weight. We ignored the hair gone and the thick glasses. And we ignored those white hairs. And we ignored the limps and the halting. And we ignored some of the speech things. Yeah, we ignored all that. But we are lowly, aren't we? We are really lowly. How many of us would take on one of those TV heroes, Captain Marvel or whatever they got, I don't even know. How many of us would you take on a ball player, a wrestler, a boxer? Oh, well, aren't they great? Here today, gone tomorrow. We are lowly. So we should have lowliness of mind. Meekness. It's okay to be meek. Oh, I don't care what the world says. The world is not meek. No, no, we want hubris. God had another name for the world. I think He'd call it hubris today. That's in everywhere. But here. Right? It's not in here. Right? Right, right? Hey, all right. Let me get some. Yeah. Hubris is not in. Meekness is in. It's in with God. Even on the earth. Those meek Israelites are going to inherit His kingdom. The meek ones. Not those nasty Pharisees and Sadducees. Not those hypocritical ones. They're not going to inherit anything. They're not going to overtake anything. They won't be anywhere. They're dead. They're unbelievers. They're not God's people. Ever were. No. The remnant was His people. Read Romans 11. Meekness. Long suffering. Well, I got two chances and he goofed up, so that's it for him. Well, what if the Lord had that idea? We wouldn't have any body, I'll tell you that. We'd all be gone. We wouldn't make it. Oh, wait a minute, there's a guy sitting back here. I've only stumbled once. No. If you didn't only stumble once, you've forgotten them or didn't recognize them, and you're in for a lot of trouble. Because you're His, you'll come through. He'll bring you through. I don't have any problems except with if they would just, I'd be all right, but I can't. You know anybody like that? Well, I know one person like that. Boy, that mic even picked that up. I put myself on the spot. No, I am on the spot. You're on the spot. Not because I'm up here. I'm on the spot just like you're on the spot where you are all day long, wherever you are, however you act, unless you're acting in response to this. Long-suffering, forbearing one another. Well, I like that verse, Philippians 4:5. Let your moderation. You know what that word moderation is in the Greek? Patient forbearance is what it is in the Greek. Let your patient forbearance be made known unto all men. Philippians 4, 5. Why? Well, it's good reason. The Lord is at hand. Back to Ron, you know, I don't know that this is true, but it wouldn't surprise me that the next event in God's program, tell me, the manifestation, it wouldn't surprise me at all if that's the next event in God's program. Because we're not going to be around for that tribulation. Boy, am I happy about that. Have you read about that? Read about that tribulation. Read about Jacob's trouble. The 3.5 years. Read about the other 3.5 years. Read about the stuff leading up to it. Wow. Man. Aren't you glad you're going to be in there? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Watching. Where is he? Then shall you also appear with him in glory. You won't have to think about it. You won't have to put a foot forward. You won't have to do anything. Wow. It's there. You're there. You made it. You made it. Why? Because you're his beloved person. He gave his own beloved son in your place. So you're there with him. Oh, Lord, what do you don't know whether to laugh or cry? Do both. You'll be with him there. Yeah. And that's your place. That's your place. Your place, not the farm. Farm was okay for a while. The business was good. I enjoyed these good business people. That was good. You worked hard with TFT, Bob. That was good. You had a lot of blessings. But no comparison. No comparison. And boy, we could go around here and say lots of things, and I don't even know a whole lot to say, but you could say them yourself. Say them yourself. Forbearing one another, when Christ, who is their life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now here's a little bit of the structure that we have as a body. This could be a little creed for the body. We don't need creeds because we've got the book. And there's a good thing to understand, which I've been trying to get through to some people. All the scriptures is written for you. For you. All the scriptures. Verse 1 of Genesis is written for you. And all those things in Leviticus is written for you. And all those 10 commandments was written for you. But it was not all written to you. Only 7 epistles were written to you. To you. The rest were all written for you. Why? Why do we need to know the 10 commandments? You don't need to know them unless you just want to please God, which isn't a bad idea, you know. It's all written for you because you can learn What can you learn about reading those rest of the scriptures that aren't written to you? What can you learn? Tell me one thing you can learn about God, right? How He is, how He loves, how He hates, how He deals with people, different kinds of people. And the main thing you can learn is His plan of the ages. His plan of the ages. Not your plan, not my plan, not some erudite crumbdom's plan, not some EPA administrator's plan, administrator's plan, not some socialistic government bureaucrat's plan, not some misguided crusader's plan. His plan. His plan of the ages. That's scriptural. I don't care if the King James people covered it up. They did. They covered it up. Why? Because they didn't understand. Watch out those covered up scriptures. Learn the Greek. Boy, that's great. Fellows around here starting to learn the Greek. Wonderful. Why? Because that was the language God used to write His scriptures. Especially the seven letters that are written to you. To you. This is my book. Take your finger. Everybody hold up your finger. Now do this. This is my book. My letter. God wrote this to me. To me. Why? Why? Tell me why. He loved you, right? But why is it to you? He loved all those nasty Jews too, but it isn't written to them. Because you are in His body. And those epistles are written to, T-O, just one of, His body. Well, what about the Presbyterians? What about the Episcopalians? What about the Methodistians? What about the Baptistians? Hey, well, we're going to get on to that, some of that. You know, in this passage is an interesting thing. In verse 5, which says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. I see the Trinity there. And I want to counsel you. The Trinity is extremely important to believe. Very difficult to understand. Believe what you know. If you don't understand it, just pray about it. But there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. You have one God. There's only one God. Now, if you stop there, you're a Unitarian. Or maybe a Universalist. E.W. was accused of being that, but he isn't. One baptism. God and Father of all. Now there we have three persons. And the ancient Greek had the theater. They didn't have costumes at the beginning, but they had masks. And we call them masks. They didn't call them that. They call them personas. Here's one, here's one, here's one. They were on sticks. One person would put on a performance. There's one mask, he talked a certain way. There's another mask, he talked a different way. Here's another mask, he talked a different way. In other words, he was acting out three different people and putting on a performance. That's where we got the word persona in the Greek. Basically means face or appearance. However, through the years, godly men understood this in the scriptures. We have one body, homoousia. The word ousia means substance. God is one body. But three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. None are above the other. They all have their identities, but they're all one body. Well, I can't understand that. Well, if you ever do, tell me. I don't understand it either. But that is the way it is. Yeah. And tragically enough, or maybe not tragically, but the groups like the Unitarians and some of the Universalists and some of those old New England groups, that's where the Unitarian heresy began to be very strong, are gone. Most of them have dwindled away into nothing, and or became modernistic, liberal, ungodly, totally. Very few Unitarian groups ever stood out for very much. And when they did, they didn't do well, because they ultimately went against the scriptures. That's a very good proof of the Trinity. Now, John 1:1, somebody quote. Was God, yeah. Yeah. There's Christ and Father together. Spirit's always quiet. He always upholds the others. But the Spirit is also God. He is Spirit. He is the Father. He is the Son. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. The Trinity, God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, has always been. Has no time. Timeless. He is timeless. Well, I see it here in these three statements, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now, because of our time, I'm going to drop down here and cover this one baptism thing a little bit. The first consideration in the statement, there is one baptism. The most important word there, anybody tell me? No? Is. Is, yeah. Remember Bill Clinton, he made that word famous. Don't believe anything Bill Clinton ever says. But anyway, the scripture says there is one baptism. Now, interestingly enough, this is written in the last seven epistles of the scriptures. So that's today. That's today. There is one baptism for us today. I don't like it when this organization calls themselves baptism or Baptists. I'm a Baptist. They're not real, true Baptists. Why? Because they don't understand there is one baptism. Well, what is it? Is it water? Is it laying on of hands? Is it gobbledygook? No, it's not any of that. I had a gentleman the other day I cornered. I love him. He's a good friend. But I said, all right, you know there is one baptism. What is it? Well, why is that such a hard thing to understand? There is one baptism. Well, it depends on this theologian. What church? No, it doesn't depend on any of that. It depends on the Word of God, and the Word of God says there is one baptism, and that's Spirit, folks. There's not a splash of water in it. Look at Colossians 2:12. There was one guy who was trying to prove to me that water baptism was the truth. This is what he quoted. I love it. Go ahead, somebody read it. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, whom has raised Him from the dead. Okay. Buried with Him in baptism. Well, how many people in these places that have these baptisms, whatever they call it, what do they call it? Baptistries, that's it, isn't it? How many of those baptistries are filled up with dirt? How many Baptist churches do you know that take their people out there and dig a big hole in the ground and bury them in it? And then pull him up there and say, oh, brother, come on, we'll dust you off now. No, they don't do that. Oh, I see. Well, we're from Boston or the New Caledonian Islands or Long Island. So we do it in water. Oh, okay. That makes sense. But what about us West Virginia hillbillies? We can't do it in water. We don't have no water. There's a little bit of creek. Holy water, yeah, you got holy water shipped in from China, probably. And most everything shipped in from China. No, I'll tell you what. This don't make any sense, folks. Romans 6:4 says, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. No, burying people in the water is not what they're talking about here in the Scriptures, is it? I'll tell you what. Talk about being buried in the Spirit. The Spirit baptizes you. Well, what kind of a ceremony do you have? Any kind God wants for you. And say any kind you want, any kind God wants for you. All right, I heard a fellow tell one time when he was saved, he dropped on his knees and God knocked him down. Just like Paul. I wonder about Paul's baptism. I wonder about these people's baptism. Is it water? Oh, wait a minute, hold off here. I got to go get some water and make this right. Blah, 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 blah. Gobbledygook, gobbledygook, blah, blah, blah. Holy stuff, holy water, holy blah, blah. Oh, there was a holy blah, blah and the 40 thieves. No, that's different. Okay. No, I tell you. Well, you might have figured out from now, somebody's going to go out here and say, I heard a guy up there is outrageous. Well, he wasn't religious at all. No, I'm not. I assent to that. I am not religious. I do not care anything for religions. I hate religions. Oh, you're going to be tolerant. No, I don't have to be tolerant. All I got to do is be lowly, meek, long-suffering, forbearing one another. But when you talk that way, you're not forbearing one another. I'm not going to hurt them. It doesn't hurt them for me to disagree with them. I'll tell you what, if you think that you give them God's word and that's harming them, you got problems with the Lord. You need to get that straightened out in your life. No, the best thing you can do is give them God's word. Now, maybe you try hard to be meek and lowly and all of that, but give them God's word. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. Well, then you hear these people that say, well, and now we should follow Christ in baptism. Yeah, sure. I'd like to see you do that. Well, how about John the Baptist? Yeah, he baptized Christ. Oh, that's what I would do, just follow John the Baptist, and Christ was baptized. Yeah. What, are you going to get somebody up there to throw some dove down on your head? I'll tell you what, God's not going to do it for you like He did for Christ, because that dove wasn't a real dove, it was the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're talking about here, what you need to be baptized in. Now, folks, if a dove sits on your head, don't call it baptism because it wasn't yours. No. Are we making any sense here? Look at Luke 12:50. Now this comes under the heading of one baptism. Anybody have it? Go ahead and read it if you want to.
It says, but I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straightened till it be accomplished?
And who's saying this? Who's saying this? Who's saying, I have a baptism to be baptized with? Right. Christ is saying. But He's already been baptized by John a long time after that. Well, a couple years anyway. He's already been baptized by John. He has another baptism coming up? Yeah. What do you think that was? Right, it was the cross. It was the cross. You can't follow Christ in baptism. You have one baptism, the baptism of the Spirit. If you're baptized into His body, it's by the Spirit. No ceremony is necessary. It is performed by God Almighty, and He couldn't care less if there are any prelates there to dignify it, because they wouldn't. Because nobody is more dignified. Nobody is real as God Almighty. God the Spirit baptizing your heart, making you His person, His child. As only God the Spirit can do that, and does do it. I don't remember any. It doesn't matter whether you remember it or not. If you're born again, if you're saved, that's how and why you were saved, by God's Spirit. So I'll tell you what. We can strut around and call ourselves Baptists if we want to. Only has to be, you call yourself true Baptists. Holy Baptists. God's Baptists. There's a distinction, maybe. God knows. Now, what about if they're baptized in water? I can't judge that. That's God's business. All I'm going by is the Word of God here. Anybody have any yay or nay? Amen. That's better than the yay or nay. Yeah. Well, I think that was important in light of our one baptism here and all the things we hear all the time. Baptism, baptism, baptism. Gets weary. And all the time the people don't know. Well, they believe in Brother So-and-so. Brother So-and-so might be a nice guy. I hope he is. Better than that. I hope Brother So-and-so sometime at least gets to be a real Baptist. I don't care if he's already a preacher in the church. I hope it comes a time when he's baptized by the Spirit and he sees all the nonsense of religion. Now, is anybody here has got any religious artifacts? Crosses? Oh, we have to be tolerant. The devil wants you to be tolerant to him. And all of his religions, crave tolerance. Because if you don't tolerate them, they won't last. They'll die. Because they're all man-made. Satan-made, man-made together. I'm not saying those people are nasty people or anything like that. I'm just saying they're just duped. That's all. Some of my best friends think they're Baptists. Because I'm a real Baptist. Ron's a real Baptist. You guys are real Baptists. If you're a believer, and I think you are. Well, this congregation here is such a wonderful congregation. I hate to leave. I'd go on a couple more hours like our brother here suggested. There's another little thing I'll tell you. There's a quarterly. I one time went to a congregation and they asked me to teach a Bible class there or the Sunday school class. They handed me this quarterly. And I said, well, no thanks. I'll just use the fully. Any schoolboy knows that full is more than a quarter, right? Yeah, use the fully. Okay. Shall we have a word of prayer? By the way, I'll be happy to talk to anybody about anything in the Word, I think. I haven't heard anybody yet bring up anything I wouldn't want to talk about in the Word. Anytime you and I have time together. Lord, thank you for your blessings to us. Lord, we thank you that we're in your body. You're our God. And we pray, Lord, you'll help us to have this attitude of lowliness and meekness. Yet, be fearless in the Word. Speak the Word, teach the Word, pray the Word, walk the Word. We pray, Lord, you'll be with each heart and each need in this congregation here. And we know, Lord, many are afflicted, truly. We pray for them tonight. We pray for those who can't be here, who can't
be here. Bless them, Lord, according to their needs. Teach us your word, Lord. Help us understand your word, your working. Guide us by your Spirit. Show us the steps you want us to make for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.